Welcome in to another episode of Walk the Pine. I'm Will Gray, joined here as always by Gabe and JP.
How we doing? How we doing?
Doing what's good. Up, what's doing up, good. Up, it back. Is a phenomenal week ahead of us. The NFL offseason has officially ended. Contracts are signed. Holdouts are ending. Big players like Justin Jefferson, Nick Bosa, CD Lamb, Brandon Ayuk, DJ Moore have all signed extensions this offseason. Quarterbacks like Tua, Jordan Love, Trevor Lawrence, long-term deals. All of that is behind us. And now we begin the season that is ahead of us. Fellas, how are we feeling about that?
I'm excited, man. Starting Thursday. Chiefs-Ravens.
2 days.
Starting hot. So, speaking of, you know, always with the start of the NFL season is the start of our fantasy season.
Yeah.
And it's also something that excites me.
Yeah.
I've got two leagues going right now. Not doing so hot in one of them. It was a league with some great minds, but another one I've got an ego booster, I'll call it, where my team is doing pretty decent.
You're in one of those, ego booster leagues, yeah, ego where it's booster. Like, you know, you're ahead of the field.
Yeah, where I have three first round picks on my team.
I have a general knowledge of the NFL.
Yeah. They're picking Travis Kelce and Pat Mahomes in the first round because Taylor Swift and everything.
Yep, that makes sense. I have one of those. So I did a $10 best ball league. This is my first time drafting a redraft. It's not necessarily a redraft. It's a best ball league. But it's my first time doing like a redraft draft in 4 years. So like it was new to me, but like I also I knew what was going on, and I had the third pick, and I got Christian McCaffrey at the third pick. I was like, what the hell? Oh. I was like, let's go. And I'm one of those guys when I'm drafting in fantasy where I'm no RBs. I'm always going to be the no RB guy. Like, I'm going to start off with three receivers and take Rashad White in the fourth round.
Yeah.
Like, I'm always going to be that guy. Like, I do. I'm not a guy who likes taking – I didn't want to take CMC, but I was like, fuck it, CMC at you three. It's CMC at three.
At that point, like a GM, you just got to – sometimes you got to just take the best guy available.
Oh, yeah. So that – it was weird, but it was funny. It's just like a $10 best ball with my buddy's family.
Yeah, what did Pat Mahomes go first?
Who was one and two?
Pat Mahomes went number one. And it was his mom. It was his mom. And then Tyreek Hill went two. So, like, CeeDee Lamb didn't even go two. Tyreek Hill went two. So – I was like, shit, do I take CeeDee Lamb? And this is when CeeDee Lamb was still in holdout. So I was like, fuck it, I gotta go CMC. Like, that's number one right there.
Yeah.
So then after that, I went receiver, 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 sat on quarterback until like the seventh, eighth round usually is where I'm always aiming for.
Yeah.
I feel like the guys, I mean, it's like if you get Lamar in the fourth, awesome. Take him. If he falls to you in the fourth round, yeah, take him. Josh Allen, if he can get to you like in the late third round, take him. But like, yeah, I mean, my dynasty teams, you know, yeah. I just joined another dynasty.
We all know you're a big dynasty guy. Redraft is it's not good enough for you. But, you know, us normal people over here, we like to do redraft. We like to have fun.
There's nothing wrong with redraft.
I fucking hate dynasty.
Really? You did. I forgot you were in our league for.
Can't wait to be good in 5 years.
You can be good immediately.
You guys all sit on your teams.
I don't sit on my team. No, I'm always constantly making moves. I'm doing whatever I can to improve my lineup. Always.
The general consensus of a dynasty.
I have a hard time setting up my lineup on Sundays. Like,
like getting your lineup. That's why I'm excited about the best ball league that I did. They set the lineup for you. It's just the best performers of the week just go into your lineup.
That's an interesting way to.
So I was like, fuck it, yeah, I'll do it. $10. But this is going to be interesting. Yes, like because, I don't know. I'm not excited about best ball.
It's interesting. I've never ran that. One of the most tragic things that happened was it was someone's aunt was in our league. That's the ego booster league. Yeah. Someone's aunt. They picked Purcell in the draft. And I was like,
who?
The Chiefs first round pick.
Oh, no. The 49ers?
Ricky Purcell, yeah. And I was like, I hate to break it to you, but he just got shot in a grocery store yesterday. But
but he's out. He got let go. He's healthy. Let's not dive into Ricky Pearsall getting shot in Union Square of San Francisco.
Yeah, it's a tragic story. Yeah,
it was
also a tragic drafting.
Where were you?
But I digress. All right.
Yeah, let's start talking about some NFL.
Yeah, let's get
it. No, we got a phenomenal week one slate ahead of us. For you suicide pool pickers, it's a tough week one to gauge. I know everybody's going with the Bengals over the Patriots. That's probably what I'm going, especially just to get through this week one, because I don't know if I've seen a better week one in my entire life. Like, that's how exciting I am. But I want to kind of dive into the whole season here. Kind of just figure out what teams do you think are being slept on, because you've got to get the sleepers out of the way now. You've got to get the sleepers out of the way now, because in 3 weeks they're no longer sleepers.
Right.
They're coming on strong. You know, you can have your second half sleepers, teams that you think could turn it around in the second half.
Start off slow.
But there's teams out there that are getting all the hype, and then there's teams out there that are getting no hype. Who are some teams that you guys think are getting slept on right now that you're excited for in the 2024 NFL season?
You know, I think the Colts, Indianapolis Colts, deserve a mention here. With the return of Anthony Richardson coming off of that shoulder surgery.
Going to slide?
I don't know.
Is he going to slide?
They're not. I did read they're not going to limit his rushing.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, he plays a dangerous style of play. He's a great rusher. 4 rushing touchdowns in his first 3 starts. Never been done before. But, I mean, we did see some flashes of his passing ability. So, you know, he did have an off season where he was healthy getting off of that surgery. So we could have seen some improvement there. But, yeah, they have a great upside. Obviously, Jonathan Taylor's healthy. We all know what he can do.
Yep.
They have Michael Pittman, Josh Downs. You know, receiving can use some work, but still a good team in a hard division, obviously, with the Ravens still the favorite, adding Derrick Henry.
The AFC South has been one of the more interesting divisions in my lifetime that I've seen fluctuate so much. We were 2 years ago. The Texans were the laughingstock of the NFL. You had the whole Deshaun Watson debacle. There was, I remember reading it. It was a 30-minute article. Like, that's how long it said. It was like a 30-minute article on why the Houston Texans are the most, like, disorganized franchise. I mean, up there was obviously up there with the Commanders, with their old owner and everything. Like, they were also a poorly run franchise, you know, still digging themselves out of the mud to this day. But the McNair family had a lot of issues, and there was just a lot of turmoil going on in Houston. And then you have Jacksonville get the prince of, you know, the college football and Trevor Lawrence. And then they have that horrible year with Urban Meyer. Then they go to the postseason the following I think Trevor Lawrence's second year. I think they went to the postseason. Yeah. They won a playoff game, battled the Chiefs. And then it's looking like the Jacksonville Jaguars are poised to run the AFC South for the foreseeable future. Texans get CJ Stroud, and now it looks like the Houston Texans are set to run the AFC South.
I misspoke. It's an early morning. I'm still sleeping. I said Ravens. I meant Houston Texans, obviously, leaders of that division. But continue.
I don't even remember you saying the Ravens.
Yeah, you don't listen to me. But
no. So, I mean, that's just like an extremely interesting division that has just fluctuated so much, and I've never really seen anything like it. JP, who's your sleeper of 2024?
I've got it kind of between 2 teams. Well, first of all, let me just say, I know we've received a lot of media attention.
They're not sleepers.
I know they're not sleepers, but I just want to shout out my guys. I'm excited. Go Bears. That's all I'm going to say. But I would say either Arizona or Tampa Bay.
Okay.
They've got a big question marks. Mm-hmm. Are we – and both teams, it's at the quarterback position. Like, is the league sold on Baker Mayfield or Kyler Murray? I would say no. There's guys that believe in them for sure. But I just think both teams have some weapons around them. Baker Mayfield, for what he is, like, I feel like he played out of his mind last year with a lot of the last 2 years. He's had a lot of doubts about his career, and he's had some great performances. And Kyler Murray has a lot of fucking question marks, excuse my language, but I think he's still got a lot of talent and he's got a lot of potential. New coaching staff seemed like the previous staff just wasn't, they weren't mixing. There was a lot of shots being sent at each other. There was a talk about the different clauses in his contract extension. They didn't know if he was taking things seriously. But I think he's got a fresh start here. It seems like this new coaching staff believes in him. They shut down questions about trying to trade him. They were like, no, this is our guy. Like, we want to invest in him. We can do great things. So I would say those two teams, they have a chance to change the minds for sure.
That is my sleeper team, is the Arizona Cardinals. I'm actually going with, you know, I'm not saying that the Bucs are my flops when we get to our flops of the 2024 season, but the Arizona Cardinals are my sleeper team. If you looked at my NFL 2024 predictions, I had them coming in at 7-10, which is a, you know, 3-game upswing from last season. But in terms of like what I think their ceiling is, I think this team can win 9 games. You're going into, like, their defense has a lot of holes. Like, they don't have a phenomenal defensive roster whatsoever. Last year, coming in at like 31st in the NFL, and like, I think it was points allowed and 25th in yards allowed, or vice versa. Not entirely sure which one was which, but they don't have a great defensive roster. And even in the offseason, they weren't able to make as many moves as I'm sure they would like to. And that's a long rebuild process there. It's going to take time for Jonathan Gannon to build up what he wants to build, but he's still a genius defensive play caller and can throw many mixed match looks at offenses. And I just think that their offense is poised to take the next step. In the second half of the season, you saw Kyler Murray come back, had minor struggles against some stronger defenses, but put out a pretty solid performance over his last, I think, 7 or 8 games that he played in 2023. You obviously add a weapon, the most highly touted wide receiver prospect of our lifetimes. At least, you know, we're not that old. So, of Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah.
You've got Trey McBride entering his third season, a very strong tight end threat who was on the same page with Kyler Murray all the second half of last season. His first half was horrible. Kyler Murray came back. Trey McBride really started to look like he was going to take that next step and become a phenomenal tight end in today's NFL. Trey Benson, phenomenal rookie running back, really high on him with James Conner. They've got a lot of upside in their offense, and they've invested into their offensive line. They've put high draft capital into their offensive line just 2 years ago, or two drafts ago, not 2 years ago, you know, taking Paris Johnson Jr. in the first round. Like, that's a team who can win some games. If Jonathan Gannon can get his defense to even just have a minor upgrade from last season and really, you know, get going in that system, they can really start to surprise some teams this year. I just think the only reason they're being held back and why I have them at 7-10 is because they play in such a strong division.
Yeah, for sure. But I totally agree with you. Like, that's a thing I'm a firm believer in. Like, obviously you want to be good on both sides of the ball. Coaching is crucial on both sides of the ball. But to me, if you have your offense there, you have a chance. And I just feel like you can squeeze a lot more out of a mediocre defense than you can squeezing out of a mediocre offense. Like, as an offense, if you're not the real thing, you're not the real thing. Like, you're going to get exposed. Mm-hmm. But you have a chance, definitely, if you have a really good scheme, good coaches. Like, you can take a defense that is projected to underperform and you can get something out of them. And that can be sometimes enough to support a good offense. Sometimes that's all you need.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can agree to an extent, but we're talking about the NFC West here. With the
yeah. I mean, Seahawks. 100%. And we're going to get deep into that division. Trust me. Because that is, we'll just get right into it. That's my flop. Seattle this year.
Seattle.
That is, I also had them coming in last. I had them in at 6-11. Seattle has now what I would say is the opposite of what Arizona has, is a somewhat talented roster. Their defense, like Devon Witherspoon, Tariq Woolen, their secondary is pretty strong. They've got a solid defensive line. They have a pretty decent roster. And offensively, you know, people talk about them like they still have one of the best wide receiver trios in football, and they do. You know, DK Metcalf hasn't become the wide receiver one like we thought he was going to take after his first 2 years. He's, you know, not the best route runner. But he's still extremely talented. Ball in his hands, he can make some plays. He's a big, deep threat. Tyler Lockett has been one of the most consistent wide receivers over the last 4 years. Every year it's like sell Tyler Lockett, you know, this is the year. But he's just consistent. He keeps himself healthy, keeps himself clean. He gets open across the middle of the field. He can also catch the deep ball very well. And then you have Jaxon Smith-Njigba, who I still have him as my wide receiver one from last season. I just think he's been in a system where it was some struggles to get him going last year. But my biggest thing is, when you have a team like Seattle where they have had a culture established now for over a decade with Pete Carroll, losing that takes time to revamp. I can't think of the Pittsburgh Steelers have really been, and I guess
they're an anomaly.
The Packers as well have been able to do that over their time. But, you know, it wasn't really necessarily that Pete Carroll went out on a bad note. It's just that the culture was established. You're bringing in a first-year head coach with an offensive play caller who has never even coached in the NFL at all. And I forget his name. I think it's like Ryan Brab or Ryan Grubb, or let me look it up real quick. But I know he came from Washington. Ryan Grubb. Yeah, Ryan Grubb. He came from Washington. He was the Washington Huskies offensive play caller, which they did have a high-powered offense. Don't get me wrong. They did. But I just don't see it. But that's the thing. It's like they have this such phenomenal roster. Mike McDonald is a phenomenal defensive play caller that I think their defense is going to be stout. I just don't see it. You know, with a culture change this big, I don't see it shifting and, you know, I don't see it shifting correctly. And I see them just struggling for a year. I think this is a team that in 2 to 3 seasons could be right back to where they were. I also just think, you know, Geno Smith I don't really buy into the whole Geno Smith project. I know he's obviously, from where he was to what he is now, is a massive upgrade. But I'm just not all the way bought in that with a new backup system and everything, is that he's going to be able, it's not going to translate well for him.
He's a backup to me, which, I mean, it's a hard position, but he's just not a starting quarterback to me.
I think he's a starting quarterback. I don't, because I think there's a few teams
for a winning franchise.
No.
He's most definitely a starting quarterback. I think the question with Geno Smith is it enough?
No, you know, it never will be.
Okay,
it's the same thing with Baker Mayfield.
He can
be
a starting quarterback, but he's not a winning quarterback. If you want a team or a team that's going to win,
he's a top 32 quarterback.
That's not your guy.
He's a top 32 quarterback. Like, he is a starting quarterback. He's a QB1 in this league, but he is not a quarterback who's going to win you games. He's not a quarterback that's going to be able to get you over the mountaintops. It's the same thing with Baker Mayfield.
He's not a franchise quarterback. Yeah. Let me say that.
Yeah. It's the same thing with how I look at Baker Mayfield. I think Baker Mayfield is limited, but he does the things that he needs to do right to get the team to the postseason and win a game. Maybe you win a playoff game, but I don't think he's ever going to be the quarterback that's going to be able to get your franchise over the hump. Which is always why, like, these teams and like the Saints, they shouldn't even be mentioned as a flop because it's the worst fucking franchise in the NFL. Even though I have but this is why the Saints are the worst team in the NFL. I have them winning 7 games this year, 7-10. You would look at me and say, how is a team that can win 7 games the worst team in the NFL? It's because they're just living in purgatory. Like, I would rather, like, if I'm a Saints fan, I'm rooting for them to lose every single game that they possibly can this year. Because if not, you're just going to continue to run things back
in the middle of the pack.
In the middle of the pack. That is football hell. People want to think that football hell is having a top 3 pick and being the worst team in the NFL. No, football hell is continuously winning 7, 8, 9 games, being in the middle of the pack, never having true draft capital to be able to acquire a player or a franchise-changing quarterback. Like, it's just, they're in fucking football hell. And that's why I have them winning 7 games. But they're poorly ran. They hand out way too much money consistently. And they have nothing going for them. If I'm a Saints fan, I'm rooting for them to win no games this year and lose as many as they possibly can. Who's your biggest flop, Gabe?
I have two controversial answers, not for extremely large reasons. You know, I like to stray away from immediately calling a team a flop, this and that, especially considering the fragileness of our Chicago Bears right now. But I want to talk about the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Jets.
Two teams that I would enjoy flopping.
Me as well. And I feel like that might be the reasons why, but I'm just going to block that out in my brain as of right now. But Dallas Cowboys just paid CeeDee Lamb. We all know how that can go. In certain cases, paying your star player, you know, they've just gotten paid. They're starting to ease into a sense of, you know, comfort. But I also don't have as much faith in Aaron Rodgers as you guys might. You know, the Jets defense obviously is elite at what they do. Obviously, Breece Hall, an extreme weapon they have. But Aaron Rodgers coming back from his Achilles, he does have weapons in Garrett Wilson. I just don't know if the lack of time that they've had on the field together may play into part as like a downfall of the expectations people might have for the Jets. You know, people might be extremely high on them. A lot of possibility. Like our Chicago Bears, of course, we haven't seen them on the field as much. But it's just a lot of question marks in that area. So I don't want to necessarily call them a flop. I just wouldn't be as surprised if we didn't see the success that many people expect to see from those teams.
Yeah, I have the Jets in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, we talked about that briefly when we made our bets, but
yeah, obviously, it all relies on how Aaron Rodgers plays this year. Yeah. Like, I am still a full believer in Aaron Rodgers. I think it might just be the Bears fan in me.
How dare you?
But his Achilles injury obviously could cause some problems. Yeah. I've seen him overcome countless injuries, but nothing as severe as a torn Achilles he just suffered this offseason.
We've seen it done in many sports by many players. You know, they can remain elite. Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, but big one.
Yeah, this is all on the idea that Aaron Rodgers obviously stays healthy. I think if he's healthy, he is still amongst the elites in the NFL. His arm talent is still amongst the elite in the NFL.
Of course.
I have no worries about Aaron Rodgers. I think their defense is one of the best in the NFL. Their weapons, they have a mixed run game. Nathaniel Hackett got a lot of heat for what he ended up doing in Denver. It was a very, very, very badly failed experiment. Trust me, I am all the way understanding of that. But I have faith in this roster. I have faith in this team. You know, Nathaniel Hackett was under Matt LaFleur, who I think is the third best coach in the NFL behind Andy Reid and Sean McVay. So there could be some worries about his play calling, but I think they have a great leader in Robert Saleh, who is most definitely on the hot seat, but he's been handed kind of a
golden platter.
Raw deal. I mean,
yeah, you know, they make the move to go get Aaron Rodgers and he tears his Achilles. You have to be able to see the project through. You can't fire him after last season because he still had one of the best defenses in football and was able to manage to win 7 games with Zach Wilson and a plethora of other starting quarterbacks. So I think this team could go all the way to the AFC Championship game. I have them as the three seed in the AFC. But the Dallas Cowboys, me and you are right on par there. I couldn't put them as my flops because I think of how much I don't think what they've been getting in the media has been necessarily high. Like, I don't think there's a lot of people high on the Dallas Cowboys anymore.
The Dallas Cowboys.
But they're going to get the media attention because themselves. Yeah, exactly. Everybody in Dallas is high on them. Every year is their year. I have them at 9-8. Once again, missing the playoffs. Well, not once again. I had them winning 12 games last year. I just don't think they did enough. And I think that you're going into a situation where their offense has hit their peak. Dak Prescott finished second in MVP voting last season. That was probably the peak Dak we're going to get. CeeDee Lamb had one of the greatest receiver seasons that we've seen in a long time outside of anything that Justin Jefferson has produced last season. He had a phenomenal year. To expect them to be able to recreate that is extremely difficult.
Exactly.
And I don't see it. And their offseason was, I mean, come on. Like, what was their biggest addition? Fucking Ezekiel Elliott? Like, actually.
Bring
like
that, back home.
They have Ezekiel Elliott and Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook's on their practice squad. They took no effort to swing at Derrick Henry. They lose Tony Pollard. I think their run game offensively is going to be extremely hard to get going. And, you know, teams are going to be ready for that passing game, which is why I think they hit their offensive peak. Their defense is still stout, but I think the loss of Dan Quinn is going to be heavier than most expect. I know Zimmer's in charge of that, but Zimmer has a great career trajectory and has done a lot of good things in Minnesota, Cincinnati, all over the place. But still, I'm not all the way in on the Dallas Cowboys this year. I think the Eagles made better moves, surpassed them in the division again. And yeah, I think Dallas takes a step back and misses the postseason this year, which will finally end the Mike McCarthy era.
We can only hope.
Yeah.
We can only hope.
Living on a prayer there.
What about you, JP?
Yeah, who's your flop of the 2024 season?
It goes a little bit against what you just said. I kind of think it's going to be the Eagles. They made some good moves.
I'd say that goes a lot of it against what we just said.
I mean, I think probably Dallas too.
One of them is going to make the
postseason. My flop. Well, I guess it's just your definition of flop. Like I think they're two talented teams. Obviously one of, the Giants pull something out of their ass.
Fuck no.
But I mean,
I'm just saying, one of them has to make the playoffs. So are you not a flop because you made the playoffs? That's fine. I can understand that logic, but where those two teams want to be, their expectations, it seems like they're almost always Super Bowl or bust, or NFC Championship or bust. And I don't see either of them, to be honest. I think we saw, I kind of like the Eagles. I like Jalen Hurts. I think he seems like a cool guy, but I think last year we saw after their winning streak, they lost a lot of games. And I kind of think that's, we saw who they really are.
I mean, my only thing to say to that is one team losing Pollard, another team gaining Saquon Barkley.
Right. I mean, it's I like their front office, but I'm just not. And I think there's question marks about their head coach.
What I think of the biggest issue with Seattle was last year, obviously, when you have a fucking idiot like Matt Patricia running things, that's not good. And he was in charge of their defense. Their secondary took a massive downfall, but they heavily improved their secondary through the draft. If there's one position that's going to take a little bit to get going, outside of offensive tackles in the NFL translating, is the secondary, is DBs, mostly safeties, easier transition.
Right.
But I think Vic Fangio is going to do numbers with this defensive line, which will ease their rookie their rookie secondary. And you have great vets like James Bradbury and Darius Slay to be able to also take the pressure off of these rookie DBs to make all these plays. And I also think a big thing that really hurt them last season was the pressure and the hype and the target that they put on the on their own backs. Nick Sirianni is a shit-talking head coach. Teams, when they were playing the Eagles last season, wanted to show up. And they did not show, you know, they wanted to show up and beat them. And the Eagles did not show any sense of preparation for any of these teams. Now, I don't even have the Eagles winning a playoff game this year. But I don't know if I necessarily see them as a flop. I see them finishing the same as last year with 11-6 because of how strong they are.
I think my definition here is their expectations of being up there as contenders, like with the Chiefs, with the 49ers, you know, I don't see them rising to that challenge.
I understand that. And outside of like, this is what I think could,
and
really
I'm not
help
high.
Them.
I'm not high on the NFC East. So yeah, like if they win their division, like great, like, but to me, that doesn't, I don't know.
Yeah, I get what your definition of flop is then. Like, how you're looking at them and the expectations that they
I
put on
themselves. I think they're
going
to be, they're like,
and I agree. That's
people expect them to be a great, they expect themselves to be a great team. And I think a lot of people expect them to be a great team. I think they're going to be a good team.
Good team. Now that I would agree with you.
Right.
That I would agree with you. And I will say this, there is one thing that I think could propel them into the great atmosphere of this season. Obviously, the experience that they have, the weapons that they have, the roster that they have on both sides of the ball is there. So, you know, if they can get back to replicating what they did just two seasons ago, very well, they could be a great team. I think me and you are both in agreement that they will not do that and they will not live up to those expectations, but they do have a somewhat easier start to their schedule, which they also did last year. But, you know, now you have that kind of chip on your shoulder that they can give themselves. They lost a playoff game last year. We were who we were just two years ago. We were in a Super Bowl. So now I think if they – it's very easy after you go to the Super Bowl and then you start a season the following year with a great start to really start to get, like, complacent with where you are. Like, okay, we are one of the greats. You know, we're probably just going to have a cakewalk to the NFC Championship was probably their mentality. Started to really pick up, and then it all just kind of collapsed. So now they can put that chip back on their shoulder and have an easier start to the schedule. Now they got Green Bay week one, which is going to be, you know, troublesome this Friday in Brazil. But I do think that they can, you know, get hot early in the year, and that could be something that could carry them deep into the postseason. I don't think it's going to happen, but am I going to be surprised if it does? No.
Yeah, I just think when it's time to – when it's unstoppable force versus immovable objects. Like that's what it gets down to when it comes to the real big boys playing each other. So then what sets you apart is going to be your preparation. And like you said, we saw a lot of times they were not prepared.
Yep.
They were not prepared. And I don't see why that's going to change.
I think it's going to be Vic Fangio. If Vic Fangio can be who he was just a few years ago with Denver, how we always had Denver's defense prepared, Chicago's defense prepared, these guys could be wrecking balls. Yeah. But I don't think Vic Fangio, it's been 6 years now since he did what he did in Chicago. I mean, building probably I'd give them the third greatest defense of the 2010s behind Legion of Boom and the 2015 Denver Broncos because the Broncos won the Super Bowl. So it's been years removed. He's bounced around the league since then. Head coach failed, you know, DC, other places didn't do the greatest. But I think with this roster, he could really get them going and be prepared defensively. And it's going to be the chip on the shoulder. If they can really ride that wave, they could be good again. But I'm with you. I think that there's better teams in the NFC. I have them losing in the first round. Not necessarily that the Eagles are a bad team, but I just don't see them getting back to the NFC Championship game this year. But speaking of championship games and a rematch, we've got the Chiefs and Ravens just 2 days away, Thursday night. How excited are you guys for this game, and who you guys got taking this one before we wrap this thing up?
Of course, I'm going Ravens here. Mm-hmm. You know, with the addition of Derrick Henry, I'm excited to see how they implement the use of this new weapon. But, of course, it's going to be a tight game. You know, Chiefs undeniable.
Yep.
Of course, I'm excited to see how Andy Reid kind of evolves to defend against this new Ravens offense. It's kind of a look into how he's going to start coaching against these new offenses that have come about from this new from the free agency. But I do have the Ravens winning. Of course, I'm not a Chiefs hater per se, but I don't mind to see them lose here and there. Of course, in the season opener, it's always a good deal. But that obviously goes against the bet we have. You know, this is all podcast things going here.
Yeah.
Want Ravens to win. I think Chiefs might win. That's why I put the money there. But yeah.
You're hedging your bets here.
I am. You know, I'm a man of understanding how life works. So,
buddy, you're so cooked on that bet. By the way, I'm not, you're so buddy. Fucking cooked. All
right. Do we explain it to them, or do
yeah, we can give them. We can give it to them. So we did $40.
$40.
$40. We each picked three teams, snake style draft. And whoever goes undefeated the longest wins the $40. So we get three teams. Whoever goes undefeated the longest.
Let me preface here. I went into this understanding and thinking that we weren't as refreshed on our team's schedules. You know, this was a couple weeks ago. So
yeah,
I wasn't too familiar with every team's. You know, I knew week one. I didn't know like week two, three here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Will G over here recently did some studying, so he had a little edge on me in this bet. But
there was no really studying involved in that.
You pulled out your phone immediately and had 3 minutes before I caught you. And you were like, I was like, what are you doing?
I didn't even get to the other teams. I just got to one team, and that was the Eagles.
Right. Yeah, whatever you want to say.
See, look, I picked the Eagles and the Packers as two of my teams, and they play week one.
And they do play week one. I see the strategy.
So one of my teams is getting eliminated week one.
You have to fully explain it first.
So, yeah, I'm going to fully explain it. So whoever just that was pretty much it. I explained
did
it to
you
them.
Say
whoever
like we each pick three teams. Whoever
each
stays,
pick three teams. Whoever stays undefeated the longest gets the win. So my three teams were Eagles Packers, who face off Sunday or Friday night in Brazil. But whoever wins that game, trust me, they got money schedules after that. Yeah. I think that whoever wins that game is going to stay undefeated for about at least 4 to 5 weeks in the NFL season.
See, I understand that. I see the strategy. Also,
and then I have the New York Jets, because if they can overcome the 49ers week one, they can go on quite the path.
Buddy, you're losing two teams in week one. All right, one of your teams is losing to another of your teams.
He has the 49ers, yes, the Cowboys, 49ers. And the Chiefs.
Yes.
I have Eagles, Packers, Jets.
Which completely contradicts everything I've said in this pod.
I love that he picked the Chiefs, by the way, because they've got Cincinnati.
Listen, this is what I said when I prefaced.
You picked the Chiefs?
Yes, I did.
And they have the Ravens.
You got Ravens week one.
Idiotic.
And then Bengals week two.
So I was completely stupid. But I thought we were going into this the same without knowing schedules, but
dude, you like the Eagles.
As soon as I picked the Chiefs, he's like, "Oh, you're stupid. They play the Ravens." And
well, I knew that. I didn't even like the Chiefs. Didn't even enter my mind because I knew their. I already knew their first couple games.
Yeah, obviously, yes, Super Bowl champs, tough schedules.
So yeah, it's gonna be Monday night, dude. A week from today, me and you are gonna be sitting on this couch, sweating out 49ers Jets.
I would be sitting here like.
You're overly confident in 49ers this year. I'm telling you that right now.
I'm overly confident in everything.
I think that the Jets are gonna win week one. I do think that. I think there's a reason I picked them. I think that they're gonna win week one. They're gonna beat the 49ers.
Okay.
I'm telling you. If not, I'm wrong, and you got me there.
Okay.
But if not,
we'll see if my flop take on the Jets is right, or if your bet will hit. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm excited. Give me the Chiefs. Give me the Ravens. I just think, you know, it's just week one of the NFL. We saw them lose to Detroit last year. The Chiefs, they've got that like Michael Jordan of like mentality of where it's like they're going to just create situations for themselves to piss them off. Like, you know, I expect them to lose on Thursday night. I got 27-24 tight game. Am I going to be fucking shocked if the Chiefs win? No, not at all. But just give me the Ravens tight matchup. The only reason I could see the Ravens maybe actually somewhat getting mollywopped is the loss of defensive coordinator Mike McDonald to Seattle.
Yeah, I'm also excited to see how their defense plays out.
Yeah, I'm excited to see if they can, you know, handle that loss well, because he was probably the best defensive coordinator in the NFL last year. So yeah, let's see what they got in store. I'm excited for Thursday and Friday. Who you got?
Give me the Chiefs.
Yeah, he's got the Chiefs.
I think, well,
going against the grain.
Going off of what you said, so first reason, like one reason here, is they're good at creating their own chip. You know,
yeah,
anything they need. That's what they heard last year. They gave up week one to the Lions. You know, they don't want to repeat the same thing. And my biggest reason, I haven't followed too much media coverage about it, but I'm sure they're kind of downplaying the three-peat. But I know Mahomes wants that. So I think after coming out a little flat last year and wanting that third championship, I think Mahomes is just going to come out with his hair on fire. I think him and the Chiefs are just going to want to inflict their will immediately, especially when they know they have two big games starting up. Like, let's get these wins out of the way. These are big games. Mm-hmm. And like you said, that Michael Jordan effect, like, they show up when they need to. And I'm not saying you necessarily need to in week one, but for how difficult their schedule is throughout the year, and especially to start, like this, I think they understand that these are big games for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when they understand that, they show up and they win.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. I can get behind it. I also do have them three-peating this year, by the way. Just a few hints to my NFL predictions blog. If you haven't checked that out, go check it out. Go see where I have your team faring.
Yeah, go check out the blogs.
Yeah, we're all Bears fans, so they already know how I have the Bears doing this year. That will wrap up today's episode of Walk the Pine. If you're listening in, enjoy the NFL season ahead of us. Week one, we got Thursday night, Friday night, Sunday, full slate, and a Monday night game. I mean, literally all four matchups are marquee matchups. This is probably the best week one I've seen. You go Chiefs, Ravens, Eagles, Packers, Lions, Rams Sunday night with a slate of great games below it, and then Jets, 49ers, Monday night football. Maybe one of the biggest week ones I've seen in my life. Couldn't be more happy to be back. And we'll talk to you guys soon. Peace.
Go Bears.
Yeah, bear the fuck down.
Bear down.